comments about Memorial Day. Of course, set aside to, we think about remembrance, those that have given their lives, that we do have the freedoms that we have. I mean, there are things in the world worth fighting for. And, you know, we can think otherwise and we'd be wrong. You know, there's a sacrifice that has to be made, and we don't want anybody to lose their life. But that's just the price. That's what it costs. And we think about, I think, you know, Memorial Day started after the Civil War. And as Ronald Reagan even mentioned that, we think of these guys as old men or somebody from the time past. But we've had recent wars, and there's widows and fatherless children and childless parents, you know, alive in the world, in this world today, from recent things. And so Memorial Day is a little more special or more thought about it with them than there are for those that don't know. I grew up, maybe I probably shared this with you before, but it always comes to my mind. I grew up during Vietnam in a military town. You know, I was just a little behind. I was a little bit younger. I was old enough to go the last draft, but I was still in school, so I didn't get drafted. But our two streets behind us, family, my mom worked with the husband, the man at Naval Air Station, and their son, Cliff Wheelhouse, he was killed by a sniper in Vietnam. And, you know, just going in that house, and they had a little memorial set up on the wall there, his picture and his medals. And, you know, they had a younger son. And I remember my girlfriend at the time was their cousin. And this boy that got killed, his mother and my girlfriend's mother were sisters. And I remember Debbie's mom saying, she goes, I don't know how. She looked at the younger son that was still alive, and they were playing Little League baseball, and she said, I don't know how Emma stands it. Emma was the mother. I don't know how she stands it. Said, he looks just like Cliff, the one that was killed. You know, he looks just like him. And I don't know how she stands it. And I don't think they ever got over that, you know, really. I mean, they went on with life, of course. But, boy, you don't get over that call. When they knock on your door, the military comes by, and they tell you in person. If you see them at the door, you know what it is. You know what it is. So we want to remember those ones and set aside. I know we're going to have a holiday and a day off, a lot of people, and a picnic because we have the freedom to do it. But there's a price, you know, that's paid for that. And what I want to talk to you about today, Memorial Day is kind of tough to do a message around that's strictly on that. And this one's not in a way, but in a way it is. You know, there's a battle, and we talk about the Christian life. And even in the New Testament, you know, the Bible tells us about putting on the whole armor of God. And I've said this the last few weeks, it's popped in my mind that you don't put armor on unless you're going in a battle. And there's a battle that's going on in this world today. There's a battle that's going on for souls of men. But there's also a battle, when we look at our country nationally, there's a battle going on for the soul of a nation. And there's a battle going on for the soul of our nation. And really, when everything is global, now we have a global economy and everything is hinging upon the other. So really, it's not just this nation. There's a battle going on for the souls of the world, the nations of the world. And we can certainly see that. And, you know, when we think about nations, and I'm going to read to you about a nation that collapsed. When we think about the collapse of nations, All the major nations, if you study world history, Rome would be a great example. All the major nations in the world that were so strong that they couldn't be defeated from the outside, they all corrupted on the inside. They deteriorated, eroded, whatever word you want to use, they were destroyed from the inside out. And I'm going to tell you what, people, when we think about individual people, that's what happens to people. People are destroyed from the inside out. It's not so much from the outside in. It's the inside out. When we think about a brand new baby that born in innocence, well, they're born in sin, but in a sense they're innocent yet, not knowing what we know. But what happens to a child as a person grows up and goes through life, and we see how some people turn out, or a lot of people turn out. What happened to them? They corrupted from the inside out. It wasn't from as much the outside in. And so we think about things, and the way we are, we look at our nation, we think about our nation nationally. The position that we're in today is because of what we tolerated yesterday. And the position that we're going to be in tomorrow is going to be decided by what we tolerate today. And buddy, I'm going to tell you what, nationally, we're tolerating about anything except Christianity. We're tolerating anything except common sense, it seems like, or morality, anything like that. So it's true nationally, and it's true personally. With what you allow in your life, or what you tolerate in your life, is going to have an outcome for tomorrow, on how it's going to be for you, or how it would be for a nation. So we're going to look today at the collapse of a nation, nations are just people. It's a collapse of people of a nation that parallels our nation very well today. And it's just going to be the truth. I'm just going to have to give it to you the truth. We can sugarcoat it all we want. We can wave the old red, white, and blue. But I'm going to tell you what, it's different now. I was sitting there thinking the other day, I was thinking about how it was. Boy, I'm telling you what, it wasn't perfect. We think about the good old days. It wasn't perfect in the good old days. But boy, I grew up late, mostly in the, say, 70s, 1970, I was 15 years old. Okay, so, there you are. 15 years old, 19, I'll tell you what, I'd take that day any day of the week. I would take that time right now over any day that we've got in this time right now. I just would. Was it perfect? No, there was a lot of problems. There was probably Vietnam was still going on in 1970. I mean, we had wars, we had all things, but I'm gonna tell you what, just morally, it wasn't perfect. I mean, it was, but just the way, it was just so different, and I would take it any day. We're gonna do in Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. Got a little bit of reading to do, but bear with me. It won't make sense, but don't read it all. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to thousands of his lords. Now, he was the king of Babylon, just to get you on the straight, and drank wine before the thousand. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden vessels and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. And then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines drank in them. They drank wine, and they praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron, of wood and of stone. In the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said unto the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding, wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made a master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And then I'm just going to skip down to verse 18. He just kind of rehearsed everything that was already said in the verses in between about what he would do to whoever interpreted the dream. In verse 18, it says, O thou king, this is Daniel speaking, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. And they fed him with grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou, the lords, thy wives, thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, many, many, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom, and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Again, Lord, thanking you for those that have given their life for our nation, Lord. And then at the same time, Lord, we lift this nation up to you today. Lord, I pray for wisdom, Lord, in high places. I pray for us as your people, Lord, to fulfill the commission you've given us, Lord, to witness and win people to you, Lord. And Lord, that we can see a nation that would turn back to you. Lord, I put the burden on us as your people. Lord, help us. I pray today, so preaching of your word go forth, that we'll be attentive, have our minds and hearts on your word. Lord, I pray each man, woman here will search their own hearts, Lord, for what is right. And Lord, I pray that your will be done, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we see in our text today the collapse of Babylon. The collapse of Babylon. You think, what happened? We see the nation. We see what's going on in this little story here. We've got a party going on inside the city walls. People are laughing and coking and joking and making merry. And right outside the city walls, we got the Medes and the Persians. I was reading about Babylon at that time. They said the length around the city wall was 60 miles. 60 miles all the way around that city, and there was 60 miles of the enemy right on the outside of the walls, right on the brink. Now think about this. I'm going to tell you what, but when a nation gets up to the point of collapse, you know, it's one of those things, it's a sudden thing. It's right on they're right there, right on the edge of destruction. Yet inside the city walls, they are drinking and partying, and they've got a big a days long, weeks long, whatever long it was, party that was going on. They became comfortable. They were comfortable. Listen to me, in the walls that they built. They had built these walls. They were comfortable, secure. I read somewhere where they had estimated the amount of food and water that they had inside the city, that how long they thought they could sit it out while the other army was on the outside. That's usually how it would work in walled cities. You hoped you had more provisions than they had, and then you'd sit it out long enough. They'd finally get aggravated and go home, get tired and go home. And so we think about this. They fell apart. They were comfortable, but they were falling apart spiritually and morally. Man, look at the parallel with our nation today. Man, I still believe we got the greatest army in the world, the greatest defenses, army, I mean, including Army, Marine, Navy, Air Force, military, let me put it that way. We have the greatest military in the world, no doubt in my mind, huh? But I'm going to tell you what, there'd be nations that we would have to go against. It would be a battle. It would be a fight. We're probably not as dominant as we once were, but we've got the greatest military. We've never been attacked outside on the continental United States since England. Before we became a nation, people know better than to do that. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but we rest in, we've got prosperity. Although I don't know where, if you watch the stock market lately, that's not doing too great. It came up a little bit this week, but we're looking at the other things that are going on. But what's happened is, over the years, last year aside, we are comfortable with our financial situation, our wealth, our military, our educational system to some degree, or the wisdom that we have, the technology, let me put it that way, that we have. We're comfortable in that. But at the same time, this nation has fallen apart spiritually, which is leading to a moral collapse. And what we're seeing, and like the rate of the collapse is unbelievable. The things that we're passing laws to promote immorality in this nation. And I'm just telling you like it is. I know this would be a good 4th of July message. I'll just do the same one over again, right? I mean, but we're falling apart that way. This is the way it is. There's a battle that's going on. We as church people are in the battle, whether you want to be, and we should be engaged in the battle. But we see that right there. We sent what happens with us. Listen what happens to us. There's church people. Let me put it down to the church. Let me get off the nation and get it right down to the church. There's people that sit comfortably in their profession. They're sitting comfortably in a wall that they have built, and they said, yeah, I have went down to the altar, and I gave my heart to the Lord way back. I got scared because somebody preached on hell, and I went down to the altar. They're resting on their profession. They're sitting back. They're resting on their baptism. They're resting on their church membership, the fact that they have their name on the church roll, and at the same time, they're still falling down, backslidden, corrupt, ungodly in their lives and in their conduct, because they're corrupting on the inside and it's going to the outside. They're doing the exact same thing. Churches are filled with people that way today. There's four mistakes that Babylon made that we're going to look at this morning that are going to parallel a collapse of a nation or a collapse of an individual person as well. The very first thing is, talking about remembrance, Brian was speaking about remembrance here today. The very first thing, they lost all sense of remembrance. They lost all sense. Daniel brought to Belshazzar's attention. He said, and up there in some of the verse 18 through 21, he was talking about Nebuchadnezzar, who was Belshazzar's father, and he was the king before. And he said, that God had allowed him to have this great mighty nation, Babylon, and he even used him to chasten the Jewish nation with him and all that. But you know what happened? Pride got to his mind. Pride took over, and he thought that he had done it all and not God had done it all. And what happened was, he was turned into like a beast. Daniel referenced it about with the dew getting on him, and he had four-footed beasts and feathers. And 7 years he lived like that. 7 years he wandered around, was fed like a beast, right? And it humbled him. It humbled him, brought him, and he got his sin. And what Daniel said was, he said, you knew this. But Belshazzar was a boy. He was alive at that time. He said, you knew this. And although you knew it, you still going the same way? You still going down the same way? Thou hast lifted thyself up. In verse 23, he said, that's pride. The Bible tells us this, that pride comes before destruction. And I'm going to tell you what, listen, don't think, well, you know, I got saved, I don't have a problem with pride. Wrong. there's as much pride in the saved people as there is the lost. I mean, people are proud of things, and boy, they're proud of their wisdom. They think that they're smarter than everybody else, or they've got it all figured out, and the things that happened to these other people that fell apart is not going to happen to me. I mean, I always said this about people that, you know what, when you see an old alcoholic laying off in an alleyway somewhere in a big city, do you think that was that guy's plan for life? I mean, what do you want to be when, you know, they did a little thing with the graduation there at the middle school the other day. They come up and they had this one kid, voted most likely to become rich and famous, voted most likely to be president. You know, they probably got someone now that voted most likely to become a drunk, laying in an alleyway. They didn't have that one, but I mean, you know what? Who plans for that? Huh? Who's planning on doing that? How did they get to that point? That wasn't their plan, but in their pride, they thought, oh, I can mess around with dope and it's not going to affect me like the other ones. These drug dealers out here, they're dealing in the cities. They get shot left and right. Every time you turn around, they're killed. But you know why they keep doing it? Well, one for the money, but the other one is, I'm smarter than them other guys. I ain't going to get shot. That's what they think. Boom, 2 days later, man. They think that's what they think. It's pride that does that. And you know, when you think about it, you go all the way back to Satan himself, who was Lucifer when he was in heaven. Lucifer himself said, I'm gonna exalt my throne above the throne of God. That's what he thought. He said, I'm gonna do that. Man, and you know what? Every person, think about it. We all going, yeah, that's right. That's what Lucifer did. I'm gonna tell you what. Every time you disobey God, you have exalted your throne above his. Amen. Every time. I know better than God. I know better. I know better than what God knows. And I know it's wrong. I've had Christians now sit here and tell, I know it's not right, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Huh? And then look there at that oh yeah, that old Satan, he exalted it. But that's exactly what we do. When we go our way instead of going God's way, we do the exact same thing. Huh? Adam did it. Adam did the same thing. One rule. Only had one law. Can't eat of that fruit. Huh? I'm going to do it anyway. I know more than God knows. Eve, she did the same thing. It was pride right there. Think about David. David, God said that David was a man after his own heart. But guess what? David lusted after another man's wife. And that spiraled down to where he had the man killed. He committed murder of that woman's husband. And you know what? He thought he could get away with it too. But God had a man in place. And he sent old Nathan to him. And he said, David, you're the man. He said, you're the man. And he called him out on that. He thought, a lot of people think, oh, the love of God, he's going to overlook my sin. There's a thing in our head. You know what they think? Like if you sin, it's really bad and God's going to get you. But if I do it, I'm so special that God's going to, in his love, he's going to overlook me because I'm special. Every individual thinks like that. They don't want to admit it. They won't say it. That's what they think. Oh, we wag our heads at somebody else. And we do the exact same thing, but it's different. It's different with me because God loves me and I'm special, right? You got to be thinking that way. Peter, man. Here's Peter. Here's the other ones. Got their nose all up in the air, bragging about their spirituality, bragging about how righteous they are. Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll never, not like these others. I'll never deny you, forsake you. Jesus said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Not one time, three times. One was bad enough. You're going to do it three times. Huh? What happened to them all? Pride, man. They thought it was okay. Here they are all in the walls. Man, these walls, we got up, buddy. We're good. Nothing's going to happen. Nobody alerted. Nobody alarmed. This nation has forgotten why it was founded. Other than Israel, this is the only nation in the world that was founded to worship God. Another good 4th of July point. Probably reiterate that. Canada was founded by French explorers looking for gold. Mexico was founded by Spanish explorers looking for gold. America was mostly founded by people that wanted to have religious freedom. In other words, they didn't want to worship at the state church, state run. They wanted religious freedom. Now, there was a lot of other people that came along, I know that. But mostly that was the general gist of it. Now look at America. Now, tell me, listen, I mean, y'all know this. Y'all know what I'm going to tell you. But we just don't think about it. We don't think about it that much. We banned the Bible out of schools. We don't have prayer, even though they can't really stop it, you from praying individually. But we don't have prayer like we... Manger scenes on government property outlawed. And you know what? We've become jaded to this stuff because it's happened over a period of time, real slow. Like that old frog in the boiling water bill. You just heat the water up a little. It's just blasphemy in the sight of God. The enemy's right on the outside. Right there at the door. We think everything's okay. We are legislating God out of our nation. It's crazy. And we're promoting that which God says is an abomination. Homosexuality. People don't know what gender they want. Gender surgeries, change, transformation, doing things. Pornography rampant in the nation that we live in. And yet, in the church, the people that are claiming to be saved and trusting God Himself, they don't obey the Bible either. Pick and choose. Do you ever think about this? That in our Christianity, that there's going to be times that God is going to be obedient to God. And I know our hearts are supposed to be on. Don't you think there's going to be times that we're going to have to do something that way down inside we don't want to? I mean, don't you think in our Christianity to follow God, that it's going to go against the grain sometime? That it's going to go against our will sometime? That it's going to take us out of our comfort zone sometime? That we're going to have to sacrifice something sometime? None of them boys we talked about for Memorial Day, they didn't go over there. None of them wanted to say, well, I'm going to go over and die for my country. No, man. They was doing everything they could to stay alive. Huh? But, you know, that was they faced it. I mean, they had to do it. There's going to be times, listen, our Christian life, guess what? It's not going to be all free and easy. We're going to have to discipline ourselves to do what God wants us to do. Those of you that were in the military, you know this. Huh? Oh, well, chief or colonel or commander. I just don't feel like doing that today. Huh? Well, how do you feel like staying in the brig for about 30 days? In there, huh? How do you feel about that? How you be like restricted to your ship for 180 days like one of my friends had? 180 days, couldn't go off the boat even when it was in the pier. And it was a small boat. You don't go, and you're in the military, you don't, I'm just not up to it today. I think I'll sleep in. I know they're calling muster down there on the deck. I just think I'll... I just ain't going. Why would it be any different than God with God's business? When God calls us to do, there's going to be times, listen, if we only did what we wanted to do, we couldn't be obedient to God hardly at all. We just couldn't because we got that old sin nature. We got it. Huh? Think about it. There's going to be times when God calls us to be, it's going to be not what we want to do when you really boil it down far enough. I know if we were all spiritual as we think we are, we'd say, oh yeah, we always want to do what God wants us to do. Well, how come we're not doing it? Something wrong right there. We've lost all sense of remembrance. The second thing is they lost all sense of reality. As I said, here the city is surrounded by the Medes and the Persians. And there's these walls on there. And they're in there partying. Look at us. Man, I mean... And I don't like to preach. I don't like to preach about what goes on at the White House or the Congress and this and that, because crying out loud, we've let it happen. You know, you can blame anybody, but I mean, when we look at things that are going on, bad alive. You know, let's don't do anything about it. It'll just get better on its own. I mean, we're not going to do a thing about it. It's just going to. How many people operate in their life like that? A lot. I'm not saying, a lot of people, I know this is a problem, but I'm just going to ignore it, and it's going to take care of itself. They're in there, not only were they not ignoring it, they weren't neutral about it, they're having a party. And a lot of people think that because they have gotten away with something for a period of time, or have gotten away with something in the past, that they're going to continue to get away with it in the future. God's got, old Belteshazzar, he thought, the party was going on, boy. I mean, blinded, drunk on success, can't see the corruption that's on the inside, they couldn't see it. Listen, 1 Corinthians 10:12, New Testament, if you like that. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I'm going to tell you what. Greater Christians, stronger Christians than you and I have fallen when they thought they wouldn't. And the very thing and the very point they thought they wouldn't fall in, they have fallen. And America, and America and Christians in particular, we have lost our sense of reality the way it really is. And like I said, I could stand in here, I could have y'all shouting amen all morning long, just talking about who's in the White House and what they're doing up in the White House, but I'm on my focus is down here on God's people, down here on what's going on in the church. This is it. God's people have lost all sense of reality in their own life. Where they are spiritually, they won't see it. Well, you know, preacher, I'm in church on Sunday morning. Big deal. How's your life every day of the week? How's your devotion every other day of the week? How's your relationship with the Lord every day? And you don't have one, you know it. But you lie to yourself and say, man, everything's just fine, hunky-dory, everything's okay. It's exactly the same thing they are doing. Lost all sense of reality. The reality is your life does not line up with your profession. You're saying one thing and living another way. This fits a lot of people. They've lost all sense of remembrance. They've lost all sense of reality. And then another thing they lost was all sense of restraint. Back in chapter 5, look at verse 2. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels, look here, which his father had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, plural, his concubines, plural, might eat, might drink therein. So what we really got going on here, folks, let me just call it what it is. We got a drunken orgy that's taking place while the enemy's all around the city out there. Concubines. They had wives. He had multiple wives. He had concubines, women that were kept around just for sex. I mean, pleasure. That's call it what it is. Look at the world we live in today. Look at the world we live in today. What is the big deal? I mean, man, there ain't a nothing. You go on television, boy, and if we're going to have a show on TV, some kind of a award show or some kind of musical thing, I mean, every woman out there that's singing, that thinks they got to sing, they got to be half naked to do it. That's the way it is. I mean, the dresses, if they got a dress on, they might as well just come out in their underwear because that's basically what it boils down to. We've got to have that lust of the eyes, that lust of flesh. Modesty is, they'd probably take that word out of the dictionary. Huh? Somebody would look at that and say, I don't even know what that means. Look, sex of all types, homosexuality, transsexuality, pornography all over the place. It's all in the whole, this whole world. And then our country, when we look about it, we got gender confusion. We've got adultery. We've got fornication. We've got all those things. And most of it, if not all of it, is even legalized by the law in our country. God bless America. Why? Why would he do it? How could he do it? How can a holy God bless a nation like that or like this? Am I lying? It isn't good news, is it? But it's the truth. How can God bless it? He can't. He just can't. If you know anything about the Word of God, he cannot do it. Legalize, listen, most of it legalized by our laws, most of it practiced in our churches. By the church members themselves.
Amen.
The church, listen, the church is as undisciplined as the lost.
Amen.
We don't have any more discipline than lost people do, honestly. As a whole, I'm saying. I know there's people that are. Absolutes have been abandoned. It just depends on the circumstance and the situation. If they're not abandoned, they're ignored. I know I'm doing wrong, but I don't care. How about this one? I'm not doing anything wrong. When in reality is you're doing everything wrong. Lying to yourself. Say you have that false sense of security. They had lost all sense of restraint. And this world has, and it's affected the church. They had lost all sense of respect. You know what? Man, they was partying, boy. They didn't give a rip about what happened to Nebuchadnezzar back before. They didn't care about what was going on. They're ripping and partying. But guess what? God showed up. Huh? God showed up now. Boy, I tell you what, wouldn't things be different if God showed up and all of a sudden right here, you're looking up here at the points and all of a sudden there was a big hand. You can see the shadow of a hand right there, like that shadow right there. And there was God's hand writing something on the wall right there. And he said, buddy, you've been weighed. You've been checked. You're found wanting. Huh? And there's a judgment day. It's coming for that. Huh? Altars fill up, wouldn't they? Altars would fill up. Boy, they were up there. Boy, God showed up. And I'm going to tell you what he wrote on the wall. And I got a little side note. Look, verse 12. It says, let me back up on the wrong page. That's why it don't make sense. Verse 12, for as much as excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding, interpreting dreams, and showed a heart and sense, and dissolving doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called. You know what? Old Daniel wasn't partying down there with them. Daniel wasn't at the party. He wasn't running around with a bunch of loose women. He wasn't down there half drunk or any drunk. He wasn't drinking with them. Guess what? He was elsewhere. I'll tell you why. Because he had purposed in his heart. You study the book of Daniel. The Bible said he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. He wouldn't defile himself with the king's women. He wouldn't defile himself with nothing. Matter of fact, he prayed 3 times a day, even though they tried to make a rule and said he couldn't pray. He prayed, brother. He wasn't down there partying with that crowd. He had separated himself from that mess that was going on. I'm going to tell you what, if the church of God is going to have any power in the world that we live in today, we're going to have to separate ourselves from the mess that's going on. I don't care if it's legal. I don't care if they got a law passing it. I don't care if they pass a law that tells you can't do it. See, they got a law that says we can't discriminate. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to do a certain discrimination that's okay. Huh? That's just the way it is. If I got a business, I'm going to do something. I'm not hiring the ungodly. That's just the way it is. They can lock me up for it. I'm not hiring the ungodly. I'm not hiring those that are promoting this ungodly lifestyle right there. That's just the way it is. We got to take all kind of precautions to make sure we don't get set up doing that if we don't want to get locked up. But I'll get locked up before I do it. I'm going to tell you that right now. Amen. That's just the way it is. Daniel has separated himself. I'm going to tell you what. We get out there in verse 6. When that old writing wrote on the wall, guess what happened? The drinking stopped. Guess what happened? The revelry stopped. The singing stopped. The sex stopped. It all stopped. When God's hand wrote on the wall right there, it shut down, buddy. And everybody was in a panic except one guy. And that was old Daniel. Huh? He wasn't sweating a load. Huh? He told the king, he said, well, we're going to put a gold chain. He said, you can keep it. I don't need it. I'm going to tell you what God said. Huh? He ended up putting it on him anyway, but he didn't want it. He didn't care nothing about it. He said, listen, Daniel, by now, when did you get here and check? Daniel's older now. He wasn't when he was a young boy taken out in Nebuchadnezzar's day. He's an old guy now, man. You know what thing about I found about being older, what's cool? You just don't give a rip about a whole lot of stuff right there. Well, somebody might not like you, so what? I'm going to lose sleep over that one. I'm tossing and turn all night because somebody don't like me. Doggone, Sherry, what are you going to hold my hand, please? Somebody, huh? I mean, I'm not trying to make enemies. I don't want somebody not to like me. But, I mean, you know what? Man, if they don't like me for doing right, that's just, I can't do nothing about it. We're going to please God. We're going to please man, right? Amen. And so the drinking stops. The sex stopped. The laughter stopped. Daniel's the only calm one in the bunch. You know, they didn't want him around while the partying was going on. It's like that. Hey, people don't want to see the preacher coming. They don't want the preacher around at little parties they're going to throw and everything because there'll be stuff going on. But boy, wait till somebody kicks a bucket. Huh? Wait till somebody gets a bad report from the doctor's office. Wait till something happens bad.
preacher, will you come over? Man, we want the man of God to come now. We want to come over, bring your Bible. Let's pray. Let's get down there, huh? You ought to have been doing that all along, right? They didn't want him around when the party was going on, but they got a crisis now. And Daniel come out there, and guess what? He gave him a three-point outline. He gave him a word about power, a word about pride, and a word about punishment. Huh? That was the three-point outline, the three P's right there. Write her down, buddy. You can preach on that one right there. Huh? Listen, our problem, our nation's problems, and our problems are not primarily political problems, economic problems, social problems. They are spiritual problems. Everything else is symptomatic of what's going on in the nation spiritually. You know that you cannot legislate righteousness, right? We got laws on top. If we get any more laws, we're going to be just like the Hebrew nation, man, and they had the Torah, and they had a book. There's so many laws. They hadn't worked, right? We can't legislate righteousness. It's a spiritual problem. And there's a loss of respect. There, you look today, I mean, that's the biggest thing I've seen in my day. You know, my mom and dad, I mean, I've shared this with you, but I'll just go over it again. I'm going to respect adults. I struggle today calling, like I don't call Floyd and Barbara, I just call them Mr. and Ms. Markham. I do call Marge, though. Sorry, Mark. I never called you Miss Dupree. But there's certain people, you know, there's just ones. They taught me that. Any adult, a bum coming off the street, boy, sit down, shut up. I sit down, shut up, because they was adult. Man, you don't see that today. And I really got a problem with it. I just do, because I was taught that way. No elbows on the table. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Please and thank you. And that's the way it ought. And the world was a lot better back then. Man, I mean, back into the teachers. I remember second grade, boy, talking, man. Got to go up there and that teacher pull your old palm back. Had that ruler, that wooden ruler with that little metal thing down one side. Bah! Bah! You know, went down, sat down. Nowadays, the teacher gets sued. Back in them days, you went home, you got another whipping. If I get another report like that, you're going to get it again. Huh? And I tell you what, I'm going to tell you what, though. I never talked in that class the rest of my time in it, the rest of the year. Huh? I didn't want to get a wore out with a ruler on the palm of your hand. It hurt like fire, man. Huh? Did it hurt me physically? Nah. I am today because I got whipped with a ruler. But there's no respect. We don't respect parents. The parents don't teach their children to respect them. And here's the breakdown of society. And listen, if your child will not respect you, don't expect your child to respect Don't expect your child to respect the teacher. When they get a little older, it's going to be the police. The pastor. Adults don't respect the pastor. Any authority that we see, it's there's no respect in the house of God. No respect for the things of God. We look in our text, what were they drinking out of? They were drinking out of the gold and silver vessels that were taken out of the temple in Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar took it. And instead of just being neutral about it and having the golden vessels and the silver vessels elsewhere, they're getting drunk, having an orgy, and the golden vessels was tied up in that. Well, how does that apply to you and me? I'm going to tell you what. When you come down here to the altar of God and you go right out the door heading to sin when you go out the door, I know, listen, man, you can't do nothing around here. I don't know, now this hadn't happened lately, but I remember in my time passing here, say, preacher, man, I've seen some people down there at the church, they were down there at the altar, man, we go down to the store, they're down there buying beer. When it was over with, don't surprise me, none. Huh? Go run right out to sin when they come off the altar of God, or come down to the communion table when the pastor clearly explained that if you're living in sin, that if you're practicing in sin, that in New Testament times, and it's still right today, that if you're and you take communion, you're in danger of your life, that God would kill you for that. Down there with your little cup of wine. Just got it explained that God killed people for doing that while they were living in sin. And I know good and well they were living in sin. Don't respect the things of God. Boy, I tell you what, man, if God started writing on the wall, and like old Ananias and Sapphira, you come in with that smirk on your face, lying through your teeth, and you started dropping dead like that, one of two things would happen. It'd be real scarce around here next Sunday, or the people that came in would reverently kind of ease in. Huh? Kind of slip down in the seat real easy. And then when the preacher gave the bulletin information, you'd get it. It's real. I've been reading personally, studying about the things that God did, you know, in the old, and there's no reason why God wouldn't do it today the same way in relation to spiritual filling and movement. But also, it's going to be real in judgment too, right? You can't have one without the other. Galatians 6:7, the Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And right now, somebody's sitting there going, yeah, he's getting what he deserves. She getting what she deserves. See, God's not mocked, huh? Yep, God's going to. No, don't apply this to anybody else. You need to apply it to yourself. You better examine your life, what the Bible said. God had numbered the kingdom. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting, and the kingdom is divided. That was what the message was. Huh? It wasn't one of those God's got a plan for your life message. God's got a wonderful life. God's got a better thing for you. If you just come. No, he said, I found three things. You got a problem. God brought them back to their senses. I could preach this in any church in the world and without reservation say in every church, even including this one, there's some people that need to be brought back to their senses. Amen. And it said in verse 30, that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. It's over. That very night of partying, thinking everything was okay. The Medes and the Persians, you know what? They found the river got real low. They had a river that came through the city of 60 miles in circumference. The river got low. They marched in on a dry riverbed. The enemy came right up inside the city, man. And he wasn't the only one that died, the king. That very night, no sense of remembrance, no sense of reality, no sense of restraint, no sense of respect. But God's judgment was certain. This is real. Listen, a lot of people think, well, they're reading about this way back. It's the same God. Huh? And he's not any more tolerant of sin today than he was then. And even though it's sin going on in the world and we think, why doesn't God listen? He's right there. God's judgment is certain, and there's no walls big enough to keep it from happening. The days are numbered. There's a day, there's a last night for every nation. There's a last night. People ask me all the time, preacher, how come when we look in Revelation, we don't see America? That's right, you don't. There's a last night for every nation. There's a last night for every soul, person. Well, not soul, every life. There's a last night for every person. That soul is going to live for eternity somewhere. There's a judgment day for every person. Weighed in the balances, found wanting, if found without Christ. Oh, well, I've been saved. Listen, don't you lie to yourself. Don't you rest behind that profession you made 30, 40, 50 years ago. The evidence of Christ is found by the godliness in your life. That's not how, but it's the result. Godliness in your life. And if you're found wanting on judgment day, you will be eternally separated from God. That's the truth. The message is, come to your senses. We've been desensitized by what we see every day. Come to your senses. There is writing on the wall right now. There's writing on the wall, I believe, for this nation, this world even. The writing is on the wall. Let's all stand, heads bowed.